18 September. To Mr. Charles Portman, 720 Pillbox Road, Chestersham. Sir, I deliver this letter to you through my dear friend Mr. Peter Carbuncle. It is my hope that you shall treat him with the respect due one of his position in society, though knowing your character as I do, I fear my hopes are soon to be dashed. It has come to my attention that, while I was attending a recent affair at the house of Mrs. Florence Flo Petrovich on 31 August, you reportedly had the audacity to mock the cut and fashion of my doublet. Now, I am no unreasonable man, as may be easily deduced by a brief interview with any person who has my acquaintance. References are available upon request. Had you made these aspersions to my face, we may have agreed to disagree as to the fashion and style of the doublet in question. However, as these vile and unfair comments were reportedly made behind my back, as only a coward and a knave would, there can be no such civil conclusion. Sincerely, I do hope to learn from you that the reports of your insults have reached me in error, and that you did not speak such slanderous comments. If it be so, do but let me know, and we shall say no more on the matter. Failing that, if you are guilty of these heinous slurs upon my person, the merest of apologies on your part will put the matter at rest as far as I am concerned. If I receive neither such answer from you forthwith, I shall be forced to take other actions of a more martial nature. Yours in good health, Mr. Simon Cass, from the home of his beloved mother Cecily, 16 Rail Station Way, Pevertonshire. September 20. To Mr. Charles Portman, 720 Pillbox Road, Chestersham. It was with the deepest dismay that I received your reply to my previous missive. I must say, Portman, your behaviour toward my dear friend Carbuncle was inexcusable. To dismiss the validity of his purpose in presenting you with the letter for the mere fact that he was drunk? Absurd! May a drunken man not carry a letter as well as any two sober men? Really, sir, your logic escapes me. Further to the point, the time of his arrival is likewise not at issue. A letter may be read at any time of day, assuming there is a lamplight, of which I know you possess ample quantities. There is nothing valid in your reasoning that you would not see to Carbuncle's purpose due to the late hour of the night. Truly, sir, if you treat the import of my missive with so much disdain that its arrival at 3 in the morning seemed to make it somehow less deserving of your attention, I have little hope for a peaceful conclusion to this matter. Nevertheless, in charity, I have acquiesced to your demands, though the unfortunate stains from Carbuncle's vomit hardly made the original letter unreadable, as you claimed. I have included a fresh copy of the text on the sheet which follows. Additionally, it is being delivered to your residence at 3:30 in the afternoon, a most inconvenient time for my dear Carbuncle, as he shall most likely arrive late to tea with his wife, and her scolding is something of a legend in Pevertonshire, as you are no doubt aware. Now, sir, I have conceded to your boorish demands, though I am the one wronged in this affair, and I expect your response to the meat of the matter to arrive post-haste. Yours in good health, Mr. Simon Cass, from the home of his beloved mother Cecily, 16 Rail Station Way, Pevertonshire. 21 September. To Mr. Charles Portman, 720 Pillbox Road, Chestersham. I truly don't see how you can claim to not remember the details of the engagement we both attended at the home of Mrs. Flo Petrovich. We are discussing your remarks regarding my blue doublet. Not the doublet worn by Mr. David Knuckles McGinty. I did hear your somewhat dismissive remarks as to the worn quality of his clothing in general, but I will graciously not repeat them here. No, we are discussing the blue doublet with the shortened sleeves and the embroidered giraffes festooned upon it. Kindly let me know whether you disparage the garment behind my back or not. If you have, will you apologize for your repulsive behavior? The request is quite simple, and I leave it to you to fulfill at your earliest convenience. Yours in good health, Mr. Simon Cass, from the home of his beloved mother Cecily, 16 Rail Station Way, Pevertonshire. September 22. To Mr. Charles Portman, 720 Pillbox Road, Chestersham. Oh, for mercy's sake, it was the blue doublet with the embroidered giraffes. I am unclear how you can claim not to recall it. To end all question of the nature of the garment, I have agreed to let Carbuncle borrow the shirt. It is a half-size too small for him, and I have instructed him to leave the buttons undone so the fabric will not stretch. Please, examine the garment upon his arrival, and let me know your answer to the questions I have asked repeatedly. Yours in good health, Mr. Simon Cass, from the home of his beloved mother, Cecily, 16 Rail Station Way, Pevertonshire. September 23. To Mr. Charles Portman, 720 Pillbox Road, Chestersham. Mr. Portman, I would never stoop so low as to demean your wife, but her assertions that she was assailed by a half-naked man demanding to know what she thought of his giraffes are most grievously exaggerated. Calling the constable's man was an utterly unnecessary action, I assure you. Carbuncle has graciously agreed to attempt to deliver the missive again, this time simply carrying the doublet. In addition to the questions asked in all of my previous correspondence, to which, did you insult my garment, and will you apologize if so, I must now ask that you kindly reimburse me for the unwarranted expense of paying Carbuncle's bail, a thing I should not have been required to do had you not been so unconscionably forgetful regarding your opinions and actions on the night of 31 August. I insist upon a speedy reply on your behalf. Yours in good health, Mr. Simon Cass, from the home of his beloved mother Cecily, 16 Rail Station Way, Pevertonshire. September 26. To Mr. Charles Portman, 720 Pillbox Road, Chestersham. It has taken me some considerable time to compose myself after reading the vile comments of your most recent reply. How you can live with yourself, I dare not contemplate. First, of course they were giraffes upon my doublet. I shudder to comprehend what sort of mind could interpret them elsewise. Regardless of whether they were giraffes, bananas, or, as you so lewdly insisted, pink cucumbers, none of these would excuse your reprehensible commentary on my fashion choices. That my fashion choices and yours should not line up is hardly a point for contention, but that you should deliver such scathing remarks behind my back is inexcusable. My patience with your forestalled answers has come to a grim conclusion, as I can no longer be content with mere words. I am forced to demand satisfaction in the most martial of terms. Do me the courtesy of considering the bearer of this document, Mr. Peter Carbuncle, to be my second in this matter. Please select your own second, and let me know your choice of weapons and what date and time you should prefer for the parting of your soul and body. Let me know your answer to my challenge before the month's end, or I shall proclaim you a coward as broadly as I am able. Yours in good health, Mr. Simon Cass, from the home of his beloved mother Cecily, 16 Rail Station Way, Pevertonshire. 1 October. To Mr. Charles Portman, 720 Pillbox Road, Chestersham. I see, sir, that you have thought my previous mailings were mere prattle. You have not heeded the strong passions of my rage, thinking it could be quelled with time. Portman, I am no fire in your stove, awaiting more coal lest I die out. Neglect me, and I shall only grow the louder. Already, I dare say there is not a man or woman within hearing of the Spruce and Hare here in Pevertonshire who does not know the truth of your cowardice. Truly, should you dare to show your face within this dear hamlet of mine, I should be surprised if you could hear your own thoughts. Nay, for a chorus of mocking laughs would like to deafen you if your name were to become known. Heaven forfend that you should come here with a mind to do business, for no man of any honour would do you the courtesy of a moment's speech. As you have proven you have no blood in your liver, you should be as welcome here as should a worm or a newt or some other crawling thing. On the morrow, I shall make my way to the train station at Gimbleville. There shall I post the truth of your character on the notice-board, and let word of your pusillanimity to be spread as far and wide as the travellers there should wish to take it. I say again, sir, let me hear from you. Yours in good health, Mr. Simon Cass, from the home of his beloved mother, Cecily, 16 Rail Station Way, Pevertonshire. Third October. To Mr. Charles Portman, 720 Pillbox Road, Chestersham. I will admit to ignorance of the fact that the railways do not allow private grievances to be posted on their notice boards. I am even modest enough to admit my own fault in not perusing the sign to see this regulation tacked onto the board. Still and all, it was the height of rudeness that they simply tore down my notice of your auspicious cowardice and discarded my work of nearly an hour to the rubbish bin. I expressed my consternation, but to deaf ears. And so I took to proclaiming your cowardice in less permanent but more striking terms. However, the odious man at the station summoned two or three of the local constabulary men. They insisted that no matter of honour would excuse my continued accosting of the persons boarding the train. Accosting? Ha! Their words, of course. No man can be accosted if the words he hears are entirely true. Nevertheless, I find myself currently detained, and for no honest reason. Were circumstances other than they are, I should pay the bail and make my way home. However, having so recently provided bail for Carbuncle, an unnecessary expenditure of which you have still not repaid me, I find my pocketbook currently unable to support such a cost. Should what remains of your conscience stir you to action, and you wish to send either the bail money from Carbuncle, or an answer of any kind to my challenge, or, may it please you, both together, you will find my whereabouts unchanged for at least a week. Yours in good health, for now, Mr. Simon Cass, Gimbleville Jail, cell number 6, Gallows Street, Gimbleville. October 11. To Mr. Charles Portman, 720 Pillbox Road, Chestersham. Well, then, if it was your intention to let the walls of a prison break my body or spirit, I must disappoint you. My sentence served, I am a free man once again. Do not think my circumstances are so forlorn that I am willing to sacrifice my honour. The slight against my doublet is not forgotten nor forgiven, and your continued silence on the matter shows your vile nature in a manner I cannot but hold in contempt. You are a knave, a scoundrel, and a coward. Prove me wrong by force of arms if you dare. Yours in good health, Mr. Simon Cass, at the home of Mr. Peter Carbuncle, 16B, Rabbit Drop Road, Gimbleville. P.S. You will note the change in my address, as my mother has stated quite clearly that I am no longer welcome in her abode, as I am now a felonious ne'er-do-well, to use her phrase. You must forgive her, as she is not of the opinion that anyone who has spent time in prison can ever be redeemed. I hope to persuade her elsewise. I share this information not to pester you with my low fortunes, but on the off chance that a timid little wallflower like yourself should develop a spine of any kind and decide to reply to my missives for a change. October 15. To Mr. Charles Portman, 720 Pillbox Road, Chestersham. There was no need to take such a sour and brutish tone in your last reply. How was I to know you had taken a holiday to the coast and had not received my letter formalizing my challenge to you, nor any of the subsequent correspondence? Really, Had your housemate bothered to inform Carbuncle of this fact on any of the times he delivered letters to your address in Chestershire, much of this unpleasantness could have been avoided. How you can blithely say this is my fault is quite beyond me. In any case, I have met your second, Mr. Samuel Hamfist. My, but he's a big fellow, isn't he? And I write my response under his watchful eye. I find the terms you have set forth for the duel of honor to be acceptable and fair. I regret, however, that I am unable to meet one of your conditions at the present time. As I have been, until recently, imprisoned, and as my funds are still depleted after paying Carbuncle's bail, which Hamfist tells me in no uncertain terms that you caddishly refuse to recompense me for, I am currently unable to procure the pistols for this endeavor. You are well within your rights to demand that I provide these materials. As the challenge, you, of course, have first choice of the devices to be used. I shall simply need a small delay as I find the means to secure possession of the firearms. Please allow me no less than one fortnight to make the necessary arrangements. Naturally, if I am successful before that time, I shall send you a message via my second Carbuncle. I thank you for your courtesy in this matter, and I look forward to introducing a ball of lead between your eyes in as expedient a matter as possible. Yours in good health, Mr. Simon Cass, at the home of Mr. Peter Carbuncle, 16B Rabbit Drop Road, Gimbleville. October 21. To Mr. Charles Portman, 720 Pillbox Road, Chestershire. I don't know if you are aware, sir, but there are remarkably few lenders of either the public or private nature who will give so much as a moment's consideration to lending a man money for the purpose of buying dueling pistols. If I hear the phrase "unlikely to receive our repayment on the occasion of your death" one more time, I swear I shall commit an atrocity. To my dismay, I was forced to part with my doublet with the giraffes embroidered upon it in order to secure the funds required. Nevertheless, I have managed to procure the dueling pistols. Rather, I have procured two pistols which shall serve our purpose. Neither is new, neither could be considered to be elegant, and the one has an odd scent like cat urine attached to it. Nevertheless, I am assured by the sellers that both are in good repair and will shoot as straight as may be required. I send them along with this missive for your inspection. If these shall suit, we shall meet at the agreed-upon time on the morrow. I propose the spot behind the Elephant and Bumblebee in Logieburg, which should be about an even journey for the both of us. At that time there shall be few, if any, onlookers, and there is a small stream there which shall make for a pleasant atmosphere before we engage in this likely fatal matter. I wish you well until such time as I kill you. Yours in good health, Mr. Simon Cass, at the home of Peter Carbuncle, 16B Rabbit Drop Road, Gimbleville. October 22. To Mr. Charles Portman, 720 Pillbox Road, Chestershire, or as he may be found in transit. I hope this letter shall reach you in time. I came into Logieburg to find the Elephant and Bumblebee is no longer in business. It's truly a shame, as the man there produced quite an affable logger. In any case, the building still stands, but now has been repurposed as an orphanage. St. Dismas's Orphanage, to be precise, though that may not be the most appropriate of saints for the unfortunate youngsters. In any case, I can see the young scamps from time to time peeking their heads out the windows. Our quarrel may not be as private as I had foreseen. When you arrive, we can discuss if it is preferable to move to another locale. Or if you receive this in transit and know of a place, send word by the bearer of this letter, Carbuncle, of course, and I shall meet you there. Yours in good health, Mr. Simon Cass, the stream behind St. Dismas Orphanage, Logieburg. 24 October. To Mr. Charles Portman, 720 Pillbox Road, Chestershire. I was so sorry to hear of the issue you had with your horse at the return from Logieburg. Are you quite well? If you need to recover before we meet again tomorrow, please simply let me know, and I am happy to arrange another time. It is by no means my wish to inconvenience you. You were quite right to reschedule our affair on the 22nd. By the time we met up with each other, the light was, as you say, far too dim to make a proper showing of it. Hamfist has shared your suggestion of another location, and I am utterly delighted in your selection. As a boy, I stole many an apple from that orchard, and it should bring me much delight to revisit it. If you are well enough, I shall meet you tomorrow. If postponement is required, do but say the word. Mercy upon whichever soul should need it. Yours in good health, Mr. Simon Cass, at the home of Peter Carbuncle, 16B Rabbit Drop Road, Gimbleville. October 27. To Mr. Charles Portman, 720 Pillbox Road, Chestershire. I once again congratulate you on your choice of the pistol. Well done indeed. You were most gracious to throw away your shot with a perfectly functioning firearm, after my shot was not so fortunate. On that note, I am told that the scarring on my hand should not be too noticeable. My eyebrows are assured to grow back, and the doctor is even confident that I should one day even be able to hear out of the left side again. Carbuncle once again sends his regrets to your man Hamfist for fainting at the sight of my blood and landing on your man's foot. Please convey these sentiments at your convenience. Mother has taken me back into her home so I may be nursed to better health. She seems in quite good spirits, having me returned to her care. In the spirit of good humour, honour having been satisfied, please accept my invitation to tea some day this week if you are not otherwise engaged. Bring along Hamfist, if you will. Either Mother or Carbuncle may partner with me for a game of whist, which I have been told you are most fond of. I wish you good cheer until we meet again. Yours in improving health, Mr. Simon Cass, from the home of his beloved mother Cecily, 16 Rail Station Way, Pevertonshire. You have been listening to The Duelist, produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written, directed, and performed by Dan Wenzel. Music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you later.